Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, 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 my sweet pleasure seekers. It is one of those other, you know, glorious days where we are having fun on The Pleasure Zone. And tonight we're talking about the five don'ts of modern tantra. I wanted to specifically note that it's modern tantra because ancient tantra practices were very devotion-based. Modern tantra, maybe not so much. People aren't like living it on a daily basis. I'm sure there are some people who still do. Just as with most practices like yoga and stuff, things have become more not just modernized, they've become a little bit more diluted, I'll say. So I can only look at this from an outsider's perspective because I am not a practitioner of like ancient tantra. So I just wanted to look at this too, because I happen to be on several groups that are like tantra-based groups. And one day I noticed somebody posted something about modern tantra. I was like, oh, well, that's a really good point that there is a difference between modern tantra and ancient practices. And I wondered for a while, like, why is it so annoying to me when I hear people talk about they practice tantra? And I'm like, oh, because I know on some level that they're not practicing like the original teachings from like 10,000 years, thousands of years ago. You know, some people say 2000, some people say 10,000. It's hard to know for sure. I think it's several thousand though. So we're going to go several thousand years old. And I think what we need to do too is also look at what does the word tantra mean? Because I think when most people hear it, and I don't know about you, but when you've heard the word tantra, you might have like thoughts that come up, like people doing these incredibly interesting poses and probably similar to something like the Kama Sutra, but people doing like interesting poses and thinking it's more about the interesting poses than the actual practice of connection. So we will talk about all of that too. So for those of you who are brand new to this show, The Pleasure Zone here on Inspire Choices Network, we have been going at this for over 11 years. And on here, I talk about all things to do with sex, bodies, intimacy, energy of bodies and sex. And we look at it from a historical, from a psychological, from an anthropological, sociological, all the ologies. I love the ologies. And we look at all of that, and we look at things like trauma and how we can move out of trauma and into pleasure. Tantra is definitely a way and a practice that you can use to expand, as in tan, Sanskrit word for expansion or weaving things into your life, right? So tantra is about really weaving together things like your body, mind, and spirit. And it's getting into all the connections with yourself, connections to others, connections to life. And so in this episode, we're going to be talking about some of the things that not to do when you're a practitioner of modern tantra, but I will kind of go through and give you kind of a more of a background on it and a little bit of history, because man, there's like a lot. If you want to really get involved, you might want to go read some ancient texts like written in Sanskrit so you can get the full true meanings of things. I have not done that. I've only ever read interpretations and translations. So if you want to go hardcore, go for it. These are all based off of translations and interpretations. So I do acknowledge that. I want to acknowledge that because I'm not going to try and fake that I'm some kind of ancient practitioner. So what I am, though, is a sex and intimacy coach, and I am also a holistic health practitioner. I work with people on their bodies to help them get out of tension, stress, trauma, and into more ease of living, In fact, it was really cute today. I had a lady who came in for the third time. And so she comes only once a month. And this time she came, and I love her feedback. If she was my feedback person, I would think that most, well, actually, there's a handful of people who, if they were my only feedback people that I ever had, I would start to get like a really big ego and think that I was some kind of miracle worker. But I love feedback of things like somebody who's had chronic pain in their hip for decades due to rheumatoid arthritis, that it's going, and bursitis actually, and then that's going away. And that there was like an interesting growth that is also leaving, and pain that was there for decades that is now all of a sudden going away. I love that. And every time the lady comes in, I'm always shocked and surprised at how amazing her results are. So I never know exactly what I'm going to be doing with somebody until I meet them, until we kind of go through their a very extensive history of their life. And oftentimes, those really weird, interesting histories will give me clues and hints into exactly what it is that I need to be looking for and where I can find solutions for them. So, yeah, so I love doing that. And that way, I like solving mysteries. And to me, bodies have mysteries, and I am a mystery unto myself. So, between the body work I do, which is movement oriented, and the other work that I do, which is, uses kind of specialized technology to help identify issues and then also helps with starting to help the body change those issues, I do so many things. But if that is something you're kind of like intrigued by or would like more information on, please do connect with me through. Connect with me through my website, through MilicaJelenic.com. If you go on to the laptop version, you're going to see my fairly updated. We have a few more things going on, but we've gone live with the new website, so go check it out. And soon to have the mobile version out that is updated, but you can still go on the mobile version and check out what's going on there. So, talking tantra, guys. When was the last time you talked tantra? Well, for me, it was actually the other day. I just met somebody and they were asking about what I do for a living. And then I had mentioned that I have this podcast slash radio show and that tonight's show is about tantra. And that's always a curiosity. I like to see when people are not sure what it is. They're not sure if they should ask, like, what's tantra? Tantra, tantra, tantra. How do you say it? Tantra, probably. How do you say it? What is it? And a lot of times people, because, I'll say it's, my show is the Pleasure Zone, they'll be a little bit shy in asking, like, what is that thing? Tantra, tantra. What is that thing? Should I even ask? Is it a position? Is it something that I need specialized toys for? Like, what is this? So, if you are not familiar with Tantra as a practice for connecting you with yourself, with your lover, another, with life in itself, and for enhancing so many things in your life, including enhancing your health and enhancing your mental health, your physical health, your spiritual health, yeah, welcome to this new world, this new potential for you. The practice of Tantra, even in the simplest form, even if you walk away from here taking two or three really simple tantric tools, you will probably find that your connection to your lover will improve exponentially. So we're going to talk about some of the things to focus on, some of the things to, not make such a big deal. And go from there. So, Tantra, knowing that it's a deep connection to ourselves and to others, sometimes what I find happens is the idea for people who are aware of Tantra, that when they are aware of it, but they haven't necessarily began a practice of it, they might start to think that this is a tool and a way to have better orgasms. So, essentially, yes, it can be. However, we need to take certain things off the table to make it less, less about the results, right, and more about the connection. So if we're taking some things off the table, let's take orgasms off the table as a goal. That's not going to be our goal. We're also going to make sure of a few things. We're going to take speed off the goal. This isn't about running to the end line or running to master something quickly. It's not about taking like that online 2-hour course and then calling yourself a tantra master. No, this is more of something you can do on a daily basis as a life practice to connect with yourself, to connect with another, and to connect with life. We also want to practice and play with our own energy first and not get into trying to control your partner's energy and the way that your partner is working with their energy. You can learn to play with their energy, but it's not about taking over their energy or trying to redirect for them. You can initiate things in order for, and talk about that too. You can initiate certain things to get the energies moving. However, it's not about taking control. And don't imitate others. Like if you're watching practitioners on, say, like Instagram or TikTok or anything like that, and you're getting your 5 minutes of do this, and you want to try and imitate what that practitioner is doing, that's not the point. It's not about imitating. Just kind of like, if you think of it as, don't imitate pornography. That's not really how it works. It's not really how sex works. You still need conversation, communication, consent, even with tantra. So don't imitate others. Learn to embody the practice. And so when I say embody the practice, like doing it on a daily basis, make it part of your life. Actually do some of the simple things with your partner on a regular basis. And you also want to be in your body, be present in your body. So don't forget grounding. I kind of gave you some don'ts right there off the bat, but we are going to talk about a lot more other things for sure. I think the key is to remember, and I will keep coming back to these things about not being in control, not chasing the end game as the, you know, we must have orgasms and they must be the best orgasms of all time. No, that's going to actually take away from a lot of the connection. And the whole point of this is connection to self, to other, the other, another, and to life, right? It could be others, plural. There isn't really like a law against connecting to more than one person with tantric practices. Although most everything I've ever seen pictorially, with depictions of different positions and anything that I've read, it's generally been a solo practice or a dual person practice, although I don't see why it couldn't be more than two people. So for the polyamorous out there, I don't see why that isn't available to you guys too. I think it is available to anyone who can connect with themselves first and then to another and life in general. So connecting to yourself, one of the things you want to do for connecting to yourself is you start to cultivate awareness. How do you connect with yourself? Is you start to become more aware of things like your feelings, your sensations, and also what you would like. So many people don't even know what they would like. So if you can check in with yourself and check in to see what you're okay with, be kind to yourself, and then start to like check things out. So we talk about curiosity on here too, right? So we've got consent, we've got communication, curiosity, and oh, there's so many more C's, compassion. Like there's so many more C's I could probably come up with, but our top three are connection. Oh, now I'm throwing that in. Communication, consent, and curiosity, but connection as well. So that's four for today. And connection to self. So that's a great C addition for today's show. We want to be able to connect to ourselves. Actually, I read a question today. Somebody was asking on Facebook, a friend of mine was like, how do you know and what do you do to practice self-love? And I was like, well, that's a pretty loaded question because a lot of people, A, don't know or have maybe not experienced love to their understanding of love. So being clear on what is that for you, connection to self. So being able to sense and know yourself. Chances are you've been so heightenedly aware of other people's needs and desires and trying to fulfill them your whole life that you might not even know what your needs and desires are. So, aside from how to please somebody else or try to give somebody what you think they want, what do you truly desire? That's a really good question to explore. We're going to go to our first commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to explore more of this conversation on modern tantra and the five don'ts and all these other things. We've kind of talked about the five don'ts, but there's so much more information coming. So you're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelinich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to the Pleasure Zone, my sweet pleasure seekers. I'm your host, Milica Jelinich, and tonight we are talking about the five don'ts of modern tantra. So what I first wanted in the first segment to give you guys kind of a definition of tantra, and then also I kind of slipped some don'ts in there, but there are actually more than five. I'll be sharing more of those. And I think getting an understanding of the modern practices versus the ancient practices is helpful as well. I think to start with, we should dive back, go back in time thousands of years ago to some of the key things that Tantra is based on. And so first and foremost, Tantra is and was a spiritual philosophy and practice. And for the people who are modern practitioners who are like regular daily practitioners, and what I, you know, say I'm a tantra practitioner, they practice it as a spiritual philosophy. They also practice it as like on a daily basis as part of their life. And part of tantric practice is for awakening spiritually and awakening your consciousness. It essentially emerged from Hinduism, but also some Buddhist tradition as well. So you have some, there's, if you look at Taoism and you look at some of the kind of Qi Kung practices around sex, there's some energy stuff that's very similar. When we look at things like Tantra yoga, that would be from the Hindu philosophy. And we'll go there first because that came first and then came Buddhism. So we'll go right back to the Hindu teachings. And I'm not Hindu. And I did take a course or two in university to learn more about Hinduism and Buddhism and, you know, did some practice in my life, but I cannot say that that is my belief system. So this is from an observational standpoint, from an observer standpoint, and just information based. So in no way am I trying to claim that I am some kind of expert in Tantra. I'm not. There are definitely far more qualified people to say that they're experts in Tantra. I just wanted to look today at some basics. So share with you guys information that I'm aware of, share with you guys practices that I've done and incorporated into my life on a very fundamental and sort of easy level. You know, I could have taken it further and became like just dedicated my entire life to it. We have had a lady on the show who is a practitioner and teacher of Tantra. So you might want to go back and look at that. Her name is Jailala, and you can go back and check out that episode. I think it was a couple of years ago. Geez, maybe five. I don't even know. It's been a long time. Anyhow, we are looking at some history and mystery. I don't even know if we looked at the history and mystery behind Tantra the last time, because I realize that sometimes I talk about things with the assumption that people already know what this is and where it came from. And they've, you know, I assume they've read the things I've read, but they haven't, and that's okay. So now I'm starting to get more and more that not everybody has necessarily read what I've read or done what I've done. And I'm sure that other people who are in their expertise field sometimes think, you don't know that? Because it's become so part of your life that you think it's common knowledge, but it might not be. So I'm sharing what I realized might not be common knowledge. So Tantra as a spiritual philosophy and practice is really about awakening your consciousness. And the true focus of it is that you're focused on your union with the divine. So it is more a practice of spirituality or religion in a way, but more spiritual than it is sexual, even though a lot of modern practitioners would probably utilize it for more sexual stuff, and then also utilizing it to have better orgasms, which, yes, it can do that. However, that's not the focus. The focus is on connecting with self, other life, life force, all of life, the universe, God, the divine as you know it. And in the practice, there are several aspects to it. So there are things like rituals, mantras. Mantras are where you repeat a phrase or a word repeatedly. I realize that maybe not everybody knows what a mantra is. Yantras, which is sacred geometry. So sometimes putting the body in positions that are, if you put two bodies together, you can create a lot of interesting geometry. Even as a single body, you can put your body into interesting geometric shapes, right? Like you can create triangles and things, different places, all sacred geometry. And then also using sacred geometry symbols as well. Some people will have that on like mats or floors, or create sort of like an altar around their space of where they practice. That's more like a sacred geometry space. And doing things like meditating, either solo or with your partner, and breath work as part of the meditation or as a separate practice, and also learning how to master energy. So some fundamentals of energy, we can actually just get, yeah, real fundamentals of energy. If you've never really felt or figured out how do you know or feel energy, give you the key simple one that, you know, most people like learn this one, I think, is like the first thing. You kind of rub your hands together, get a little heat going, get sensation, kind of like life in your hands going. And then you can just hold your hands about like 6 inches apart. And then just sense and note the there is like a, I think a pulsation or a magnetic repelling that kind of goes on, and you can just feel that and sense that. Some people will even like see colors in between the hands or around the hands or whatever. Yeah, not seeing it is, you know, you see it, cool, you don't see it, cool, it doesn't really matter. So in order to, I think, master energy, it's really good to get some simple practices down of just, can you sense it? So if you can sense it with that hand action and you're feeling like a magnetic push-pull, and then you breathe in, and with your breath in, you might notice that that your hands will spread apart more, and you'll get more of a sensation of them moving even further apart, and that magnetic feeling where that where they repel each other gets, the space between your hands gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, now if you wanted to, you could put that around your body. You know, you can place your hands, if you're watching me on video, it's like, okay, now place your hands around your head and see if you can feel a sensation of that, like your hands kind of repelling. Some people even refer to it as like a taffy pull. Like you feel this like sensation of something pulling. It's kind of got, I don't know, gummy. I don't, it's got a pull to it, bit of a repelling sort of thing going on. So just sense that, sense where it is. You might notice, like as you move around your head, that there may be places where your hands go closer to your head than there are in other areas. And so as you play with it too, you can actually like have your energy field, you can make it more smooth, we'll call it smoothing it out. And so feel where you might notice like, oh, it's going in there around some spot, and then just open your hands up and then let it open out. So you'll start to, and you can do that around your whole body, but start with your hands relatively close together. Feel that kind of sensation. And that's a great starting point for how do you sense energy? How do you play with it? How do you be with it? If you've practiced energy work your whole life, you might have even forgotten that simple tool, because it's one of those ones that's like you start playing with energy so long that you're like, you forget the fundamentals. It's like when you, if you're an athlete and you've been running your whole life, you might forget how it was that you learned how to walk, because you're running now all the time. We sometimes forget those simple fundamentals, and they're super great to remember. With breath work, so one of the things that, there are so many different kinds of breath work. If we start with a really simple belly breath work, where you're breathing in and you let your belly raise, and you breathe out and you let your belly sink. So you can breathe in, say, for 4 or 5 and out for 4 or 5. If you breathe in, say, for 4 and you breathe out for longer, it helps relax your nervous system even more. If you're wanting to just become aware of your breath, breathing in for 5 and out for 5 is a really great way to learn how to connect to your breath and become aware of your breath. It also helps regulate your breathing. For simple meditations, some people will, you know, go onto an app and find something that they like to listen to. Maybe they want a guided meditation, or maybe they want silence. I had somebody say that to me the other day. They're like, I can't do meditation the way you guys do it in silence. I was like, I didn't know that I did that. I actually don't do meditation in silence. That's not my way. I get highly distracted. And I also am not, like, I can gift guided meditations, but my preference for me is mantras. I can focus on a mantra and I can go for hours doing a mantra meditation. So it's my preference. I also prefer, if I can, to do mantras out loud so I can hear my own voice saying them. I don't do the mantra just in my head. So, and in terms of rituals, that's something that you can personally create on your own. Sometimes people like to put out an altar with different things. Maybe you're doing your tantra practice in order to create a more of a connection with your partner. So you might put symbols that would represent your connection together. Maybe a picture of the two of you, maybe burn certain candles or certain, put out certain scents that both of you like that help you feel more like you're in harmony with each other. So I wouldn't say that there's a specific thing you need to use rose oil or something, although some people will say that. If rose oil annoys you, then that's not going to be helpful. So use things that you both like, smells that you both like, light some candles, do some little ritual around connection, which can be just lovely in and of itself, just being with your partner and just connecting that way, with no expectation, just for the love of connecting to yourself, but also to the divine together. So that can be a really beautiful way to increase your awareness of each of yourself and of each other too. Great way to connect. We're going to talk more about ancient practices versus modern practices, the do's and don'ts and all of that of Tantra when we come back from this commercial break. And you're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to the Pleasure Zone, my sweet pleasure seekers. I'm your host, Milica Jelenich, and tonight we are talking about the five don'ts of modern Tantra, but I kind of tapped into those a bit, but I also started to talk a bit about the history of more of the ancient practices of Tantra, so going back thousands of years. And we talked about Tantra as being union with the divine, as a practice of more of a spiritual practice rather than a sexual practice. And we talked about certain things that could be included, like rituals, mantras, yantras, meditation, breathwork, and energy mastery. And also, one of the things about Tantra is that in the most authentic form or original form of it is that it's taught that everything, including your body, your sexuality, your emotions, your desires, everything can be a path to enlightenment if you approach it with awareness, which I think is a really beautiful, inclusive philosophy. So everything and anything, even your desires and your sexuality, can be a path to enlightenment. And I feel like there's so much truth in that. Also, the original practitioners had a very disciplined framework around their work, and they often would have a teacher or a guru, as it would be called, as a guru. And if you are looking to be a really authentic practitioner, I would look for somebody who's a teacher who can tell you definitively who their guru is, because they should have a guru as well, who their guru is, and then what the lineage of their gurus are. Usually, when you've been taught something that has a teacher like that, you'll know who your teacher is, and you'll know the lineage back several generations, usually, of gurus. That is a really good way to find out, did they actually learn from somebody genuine, or did they learn from somebody who just decided to give themselves a stamp of approval? So go for the ones who have been a long-term practitioners, have it as their daily life practice, and have had teachers, at least one teacher steadily for their whole life, that they still would refer to if that teacher is alive. But if that teacher has passed on, that they've probably had the top student of that teacher take over, and they might be that top student, which is even a really cool experience to be taught by somebody who's kind of like the next in line. And back in the day, even probably until about maybe the 1960s, maybe 70s, when Tantra became more available to Western society, it was very much considered more like an esoteric practice. And it very much is considered something for somebody needed to really understand the responsibility what they were taking on when they were becoming a practitioner of Tantra. And so in that way, being initiated to do that was usually something you'd be invited to. Somebody would, you know, see that in you and invite you to it, where now we don't really have that. So let's have a little check into modern Tantra. And, or some people also call it like Neo Tantra, New Tantra. It pretty much showed up in the West in the 20th century. I'd say probably around the 60s, but I don't have an exact date on that. The reason I say that is because their Masters and Johnson had some references in their work to Tantra, and also they had references in their work to the Kama Sutra. And I think that information started to come out more. I know in the 1950s, there was more writings about yoga and different yoga practices. And so this Tantra would fall under that. So it was probably somewhere around there, even though there were practitioners in the West for longer than that, since the 1800s, probably. Maybe very few handful before that. But anyhow, so modern Tantra or Neo Tantra is often kind of mixed with more of like a combination of energies of things of like, it's psychology, it's a sacred sexuality, it's also got some bodywork essence going on with it, and personal growth practices. So there's some things that kind of overlap with when we look at ancient practices, where we're looking at the sacredness of things, the connection to different things with sacred sexuality or connection to that. Personal growth practices is the other, you know, way of looking at it, as having your awareness or your consciousness more elevated. So modern Tantra, the main focus is on connection again, which is great. It's also got a focus on healing and having more conscious sexuality. So you can see how it's not necessarily about the divine the way the original tantric practices were about the divine, and there was more structure, right? So what Neo-Tantra or modern Tantra has done has made these ancient teachings more accessible for modern life, especially for people who are seeking more pleasure, more presence, and more love in their life. And it's different in the way that practitioners aren't necessarily doing it on a daily basis. They're not necessarily doing all the rituals, the mantras. They might have some, but I don't know that they're doing it on a daily regular basis. I know some that do, and I know some that say that they do that, like they do Tantra, but it's just like they do that when they run into somebody that they want to get it on with, but it's not necessarily their daily life. so The woman that I had on the show, Jailala, is a genuine practitioner of Tantra. It is part of her life. So when you find people who are genuine practitioners and you can ask them who was your teacher and who was their teacher and that sort of thing, that's really helpful. So modern Tantra incorporates a lot of the things we talked about, like breath work. And as I talk about all the time, communication. It incorporates all these things that we talk about on this show a lot. And communication in the ancient practices of Tantra were more through a joint understanding of what the practice was. So if you and your partner are both in the same, say, religion, you might have a common understanding of what's required of you, or what there's like a unspoken understanding. So communication wasn't necessarily key, where now we're looking at it more from communication being important, that movement is important as well. So doing different physical movements, yogic practices usually, and doing specific touch work as well. This, in modern Tantra, there's also going to be the requirement for consent. So a lot of these things will be, you know, being able to take the moment, pause, ask your partner different things, whether they're okay with certain stuff. I think ancient practices, when you're really tuned in as an energy master, there was probably a level of communication that was on such a subtle level that even master energy practitioners today probably weren't even, you know, remotely close to where they were at even 1,000 years ago with that kind of practice. I know I'm judging that, but I think we have a lot of things that are interfering with that, unless you like are living off grid. And in that case, you're not even listening to my show, so you're not being offended by that. But the really ancient practitioners, people who are taking those practices super seriously and living it that intently as their spiritual devotion, as a way of life, then they're doing it a lot differently than what we have now. It's just kind of like comparing, say, Gregorian monks to some modern day monks who are, you know, or priests. They're not living the hardest hard life like they used to, right? They're not living it in the same way. And so everything has kind of gotten modernized. That's the nature of the world. However, I think it has a little bit taken away from something. It's like it's diluted it a little bit. I know that sounds judgy, but there's a lot of things that feel diluted to me these days. And we're missing some essence of, like, we're missing that essence of divine connection when it comes to, you know, human sexuality these days. I think we have it on some level. We think we have it, but what I can perceive is that there's so much more that we're not tapping into that probably our ancestors could have tapped into, that we're so distracted that we don't tap into it anymore. Now, that's my rant on that. So we're looking at modern Tantra, where modern Tantra is more about being heart-centered than it is about doing the rituals or any of the other stuff to do with divine, right? So it's like, let's get into our hearts, let's get connected, let's get centered, let's get present. And all those things are really important because we're not. So if you look at 1,000 years ago, when people were more present with the land, present with others, then to get into more depth for them would be connection with the divine in a totally different way than what we have. I just think they were more connected. That's just my interesting take on it. So I feel like I'm being so judgy right now, and I don't know, maybe I'm just being observational. So modern Tantra also has this view that sexual energy as a life force can be a tool for healing and creativity and connection, which I agree with that too. And it was probably something that was part of ancient practices as well. It was just like a natural side effect of people being energy masters, that they would heal and they would have more spiritual connection. That was the intent, was to have the spiritual connection. So we have it now, but it feels like it's different. I don't know how else to explain it. I wish I had better words for this, but I just feel like it's, I'm going to go with diluted. Anyhow, we're going to talk a little bit more when we come back about, I guess it's like the depth of devotion is what people used to have. And maybe we are just not at that depth of devotion anymore, by and large, right? So majority of people are not having that depth of discipline and devotion. There might be some that are, but I don't think it's a massive number of people that are. All right, I'm going to stop that rant. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers, peepers, I almost called you my sweet pleasure seekers. We are talking about the five don'ts of modern tantra. I think in order to understand that, I needed to talk a little like riff about ancient tantra for a little bit too, about more about the practices, the devotion, the art of presence. And I briefly spoke about the lineage, like having a guru, knowing that who your guru's 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 guru was. There's something very rich in that, knowing who your teachers were and honoring them. When I have learned something, generally on this show, if I remember to, which I try to always, whatever I remember, I try and share with you where I learned that from. And even with the body work that I do, my lineage is that I do body work and energy work, different teachers for different things. But in one of my bodies of work that I do is that my mom was my teacher, and my mom's teacher was the one who brought the work to the planet. So like, and he was also my teacher for a while as well. So I was with like the direct creator of the work. So I think it's really important that you honor your teachers, because they're the ones who showed you the way. And anyway, yeah, so looking at the lineage of the philosophy and who taught you what and how you came to understand that, I think is super important. And so don't ignore modern tantra. I think what they do is they ignore a lot of the lineages, and I think don't ignore your lineage. And if you don't have one, then it's a great time to go and find teachers that can teach you, that have been taught via a lineage, because you're going to learn so much more. Don't also ignore the sort of the dark side of things, like the shadow, the death, the ego and taboo and fear and everything, because those are all portals to liberation. They're all ways to open yourself up to liberation, which is part of what tantra does, is opens you to liberation. And it gives you courage to face everything in life, because you're connected to everything. So I think what we miss is some of that. Is a lot of modern tantra is about the light and the love, and it's great. We also need to look at some of the other sides and have that integrated. There is the union of opposites when it comes to that work, and the more you learn about it, the more you'll see how it integrates both polarities of things. So yeah, as much as you could focus too, I also think don't focus on technique so much as focusing on and learning more about awareness, energetic awareness, sensing things, becoming more aware, consciousness. And also, like, yes, touch is fantastic, and there are, you know, techniques of touch, but their essence is really like knowing the subtleness of what's going on and feeling like the super subtle energies. That was another thing that I got from a client today. I loved that she was like noticing super subtle changes. And it's really cool when people can sense things in there, like they sense minute shifts, and they know that those minute shifts can lead to massive shifts. It's like that concept of, if you can just go 1 degree off of where you're headed right now in your life, you know, if you went 1 degree off every day, you'd end up in a totally different trajectory. So those subtle changes are like that. And you can gain so much information by acknowledging just the smallest subtleties of what's going on. Not be afraid of them. Sometimes people will do that and they're like, everything becomes negative or bad. It's like, just become aware of it. It's like, oh, I noticed this. I noticed this sensation. Oh, I noticed that. I noticed that shift. When you did this, I noticed this. Like, that is cool stuff to become aware of. And if you really want to be, a fabulous practitioner, you know, you might want to do it as a daily practice and anchor pleasure into your life. It becomes something that helps you be grounded. So that is something to definitely play with as well. So some of the things we've talked about on the show, like multiple times, are different practices that go back to, say, yogic teachings. When we talk about breath work, which is pranayama yoga, that stuff is old. So if you can learn how to breathe with your partner, you're doing these ancient practices. Breath is life, right? And if we can remember to breathe with ourselves, and we can remember to breathe with our partners, it can do so much. I was actually doing this like really wacky thing the other day. I'd seen this video where it showed like this mom and this baby, and they were connecting their noses, and the mom was breathing in a very rhythmic manner, and it had the baby fall asleep within 30 seconds. So I jokingly, but not jokingly, I was like, curious. I sent it to my teenager and I was like, do you think this will work? Like, what if I do this to you at this age? I wonder if it'll work. So we thought, okay, let's try this and find out. But it does. It totally works. Connecting your noses and breathing, and then it'll actually harmonize your body and your breath, and then it helps calm down your body. It's such a cool thing. So even simple things like learning how to breathe together, you can help your partner, if they're going through something, regulate themselves. You can help yourself be regulated, starting with simple things like that, or also even just having the chance to look at each other. You know, that 30-second eye gaze is intimidating. It's especially intimidating if you're a little neurospicy, because sometimes that eye connection is like really intense. 30 seconds of it is like, wow, whole other universe intense. So play with that. You might start with 5 seconds if you're neurospicy, and then, you know, move it up to like 10, 15, 25, and see how that goes for you. So I think I want to summarize that as, you know, whether you're practicing ancient practices with old teachers and old lineages, or you're practicing modern tantra, there's value in both of them. It just depends on how in-depth you want to get and how serious you want to go with it. But any one of them is going to help you along your life path right now. I guarantee it.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.